encouraging to know that many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you have indicated that you're going to be reading it again, and that's an encouragement. Some have said they've tried to read Pilgrim's Progress but give up because of the old English. You can buy copies today with updated English, so that's no excuse for not reading the book. And also, if you can, in this modern age, you know, you can download the book from the internet on your MP3 player or iPod. Paulo tells me sermonaudio.com. You can download it. So there's no excuse. You can walk around with your earphone in and listen to Pilgrim's Progress. But just one other portion of Scripture, Galatians 6, verse 14. I'll read it to you. But God forbid, says Paul, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified to me and I to the world. Well, friends, yesterday we looked at Graceless run from his home in the city of destruction in the direction of the wicket gate. That is a small gate inside a bigger gate. He's running and he has this enormous burden on his back and a book in his hands. The book, of course, is the Bible. The burden of sin. He's been awakened to his consciousness, to his sinfulness, to his state before God. Now, after fleeing and heading in the direction of the gate, he falls into the Slough of Despond, and he's helped out by help, who points him again in the right direction. He meets worldly wise man who suggests that the burden that Christian is carrying is unnecessary and tells him to go and visit Mr. Legality in the town of Morality. Of course, Mr. Legality in the town of Morality, a picture of Sinai, a picture of people who try to earn salvation, gain some merit with God through the keeping of the law. And this is Bunyan's way of describing the difference between the way of grace and the way of works. Because as Graceless comes to the town of Morality, things actually get worse for him and not better. Finally, Christian encounters Evangelist once more, and having received some words of rebuke and encouragement, he once again is pointed in the direction of the little gate, and on getting to that gate, he knocks several times, representing Christian's earnestness rather than any reluctance on the part of the gatekeeper, goodwill to open up and let him in. Now, at this point on, Christian is a believer. He's a saved man. But as we said yesterday, there is an enormous problem. And I asked you to think about that problem, and many of you did. And, of course, the problem is the fact that Christian, as he goes through the door, and the door is Christ, the door is salvation, he still has this burden. And theologians and preachers have criticized Bunyan at this point. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, Christian should have lost his burden straight away. In fact, Spurgeon says in one of his sermons, he could have got Christian to lose his burden a lot sooner than Bunyan managed. So that's what Spurgeon says. Now, this has been a point of controversy down through the centuries. Dissertations, PhDs have been written on this. Now, this is a complex issue. We could spend the rest of the week examining the theological complexities of what it is that Bunyan is actually doing here. Now, you could read the story, and you could think it's just a good yarn and move on. But if you've got the kind of mind that has an antenna that beeps every now and then when you're reading, this is the point where your antenna starts to beep. when he knocks the door, he asks for entrance and gets in, and he still has the burden on his back. You ask the question, what's going on? Well, in defense of Bunyan, Spurgeon's criticism and the criticism of others, I think, is due to a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding of 17th century theology, a misunderstanding of how Bunyan is describing what is a very practical pastoral problem. Because even though Graceless is now a Christian, Christian is now a Christian, he is a believer having come to the door and gone through. He doesn't yet have assurance of his faith. And many of you were able to pinpoint that in the course of your discussions with each other. And what Bunyan is trying to do is show that Christian doesn't fully understand all the ramifications of what has occurred. And isn't there people like that? Aren't there people who do come to faith in Christ, but they don't understand all the ramifications of what has happened? And the question, how can a man be just with God? How can a man be right before God? No one feels the force of this dilemma more than the repentant sinner, more than the person who has come to Christ. Repentant sinners know that they deserve to be punished. And it's not right for God to let us go scot-free, as it were. We deserve to be punished. We know that God cannot just sweep all those sins under the carpet and forget about them. Those sins have to be punished. Hence, the cry from the heart is, how can a just God ever smile upon the likes of me? How can this burden of guilt be removed? How can God pronounce a blessing upon me? How can a man like me ever be right before God? As I say, no one feels the force of that dilemma more than the repentant sinner. It's like a person who loses an arm or a leg, who has an arm amputated or a leg amputated. You know, the leg is gone. The foot's not there. But how they feel a terrible itch in their toe. Not right. Haven't you heard that of people who have lost their arm or a leg? They still feel that they can grab something with that hand that's no longer there because of the nerves still in the arm. It's a bit like that. And Christian, having gone through the door, as many Christians do, but experientially, they still wrestle with the whole notion of forgiveness, acceptance, and assurance. How could God ever forgive me? And Bunyan is no doubt reflecting upon his own experience. For about 18 months, Bunyan had no assurance that he was a believer. For about 18 months, he lived in this twilight zone, a place where he wasn't sure that he was a Christian, but he wasn't assured either that he was a true child of God. And so, yes, the door is Christ. The door is the cross. Bunyan is not saying you can be saved apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, or there's any other way of salvation other than through the cross of Christ. Of course not. That is not what he is saying. But I think he is saying Christian believes. But he's saying, Lord, help my unbelief. He still has many things to learn before he will get that assurance of faith and sing full of gusto, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to find. And so Bunyan brings Christian to Interpreter's House. And Interpreter's House is still standing today. It was the house of Bunyan's minister, the one who instructed him in so many of the Bible's teachings. And Interpreter takes him around several rooms within the house. And each of those rooms, Christian is taught something about the nature of the Christian life. And so from Interpreter's House, Christian leaves. And this is what Bunyan writes after he leaves Interpreter's House. "Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side by a wall, and that wall is called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom, a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, the burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from his back, and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, he has given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood still a while, to look and wonder. For it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked therefore, and he looked again, even till the springs that were in his head sent waters down his cheeks. Now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with peace be to you. So the first said to him, your sins be forgiven. The second stripped him of his rags and clothed him with a change of raiment. The third also set a mark on his forehead and gave him a roll with a seal upon it, which he bid him look on as he ran, and that he should give it in at the celestial gate. So they went their way. Then Christian gave three leaps for joy and went on singing. And as Bunyan often does in the course of this allegory, he includes a little song that Christian sang. Thus far did I come, loaded with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings be that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that was there put to shame for me." Oh, friends, a very, very moving piece. Why anyone could read that and not be moved, I wouldn't understand. But Bunyan is teaching us three very important lessons. Firstly, he is teaching us that the burden of sin is lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. My Savior is very near. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That's Bunyan's testimony about Christian. And that, friends, takes place at the cross. By having the burden roll off his back and down the hill, you know, through this glimpse of the cross, you see how John Bunyan is making the cross of Jesus Christ central to salvation and indeed our experience of salvation. That's why Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory or I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified to me and I to the world." Bunyan is reflecting that here in his allegory, boasting in the cross. And that's a very strange thing to say, isn't it? To boast in an instrument of execution. It's like saying, I boast in the gas chambers, or I glory in the electric chair, or I boast in the firing squad. That's what he's saying. But you see, friends, it's not just the instrument of execution so much that Paul is boasting in. It's what that execution accomplishes. Because it means that Paul's boast is the fact that Jesus Christ is dying for him, because that's what it means. It means that our redemption is accomplished. We have been redeemed. We have been set free from the curse of the law. That's to say that it totally liberates us. It sets us free from the bondage, and the incarnation and the incarceration removes that weight of sin. He has died for us. He has taken our place so that we may say, redeemed. I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, his child, and forever I am. You see, Paul glories in the cross. He glories in the cross because it accomplishes redemption, but he glories in the cross also because it provides propitiation for our sins. Christ redeems us because he has been made a curse for us. This burden, this enormous burden, and if you've ever been looking at Pilgrim's Progress, any of the children's editions with the pictures, you've got in your mind now this enormous burden that's weighing him down, this burden of sin. And what the cross signals for the Apostle Paul, as it signaled for John Bunyan, as it signals for every believer in this room this morning, is that my sins deserved, what my sins deserved, has been borne and borne to the full by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has borne the penalty that sin deserved. Jesus Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On the cross, my sins were reckoned to Christ. And God the Father, in his infinite justice, poured out his wrath, his unmitigated wrath, upon his Son. And Jesus received what I deserved. You see, God is angry with the sinner every day. God is angry with sin. And that anger of God has to be turned away. That righteous anger, that righteous wrath, has to be turned away. And so when our sin is placed in Christ, then he becomes the propitiation, you see. He becomes the one who turns away the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is poured out on him instead of being poured out on me. And so Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken. He was put in outer darkness because he was bearing the guilt and the shame and the consequences of that guilt and that shame for me. You see how it's as personal as that. He was bearing my sin, my guilt, so that we can say there is a green hill far away outside a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified. He died to save us all. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He alone could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And that is why Bunyan, his Christian, gazes at the cross. And immediately he gazes at the cross, and it comes as a surprise to him that looking at what to all intents and purposes is the most sorrowful sight in the world, it becomes to him the sight of joy. And as soon as he understands that there on the cross, his sins have been dealt with, his burden immediately loses from his back and falls off. And that's the first thing then. This burden, the burden of sin, is lifted at Calvary. Which leads then to the second point. Bunyan is teaching that a great exchange takes place at Calvary. Now, Bunyan employs the picture of a change of clothes, picturing Zechariah chapter 3, where Joshua is standing, you know, before God in the temple in those filthy rags, and there's a change of garments takes place, a change of raiment. Those filthy rags are taken off, new clothes are given. He's picturing Isaiah 61, verse 10. He's picturing this great exchange that takes place. My sins, my filthy rags, my filthy garments, they go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness comes to me. And the way Bunyan pictures this is exactly the way the Bible pictures it. Christians' rags are taken away, and one of the shining ones gives him a clean suit of clothes. Now, it isn't enough, you see, that our sins be dealt with. We also need a positive righteousness. We need an obedience to every facet of God's law in order to be made right with God. So, you see, it's not enough that the penalty of our sins be wholly dealt with at the cross. We also need the righteousness, the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless, righteous robe of Jesus Christ reckoned to our account. Now, that's something that has come under a great deal of attack in recent days. The fact that you don't need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, this is a very crucial doctrine, the doctrine of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. And here Bunyan pictures it as this clean set of clothes, this holy obedience of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our sin bearer, as our substitute, as our go-between, as the one who stood in our place, reckoning the obedience that a holy God requires on our behalf, and reckoning that obedience to our account. So that you and I, if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified. That is to say, friends, we are right with God because of what he has done. We have no case to answer. The books are opened, and it's not that there's just a line through it. There are no sins there to answer, so that we can be introduced to our Heavenly Father and have access into his glorious presence because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in both holy obedience to the law, that is, his perfect obedience to the law, and his taking the curse that our sins deserved upon himself. And as we give ourselves by God's grace in faith to Jesus Christ, resting on the Lord Jesus Christ alone with nothing, as the hymn writer says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Resting on him, resting in his righteousness, so that you and I receive divine pardon and acceptance, which we otherwise would not have had. All the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is Bunyan teaching that burdens are lifted at Calvary, not only is he teaching that a great exchange takes place, my sin imputed to Christ, Christ's righteousness imputed to me. In the third place, he is teaching about this assurance that is found at Calvary. And as I say, Bunyan is probably reflecting here something of his own experience of grace, that having entered the wicket gate, as it were, for some 18 months, Christian wrestled with this whole aspect of assurance. And some of you know of that experience in your own lives also. Maybe you're wrestling with this whole issue of assurance. You know, am I saved or am I not saved? Now, Bunyan isn't saying that is to be the experience of every Christian. He's not suggesting that at all in Pilgrim's Progress, that once you come to faith in Christ, then there is that long period where you're wrestling with your assurance. He's saying that's my experience. That's, you know, what I went through. I think that's what Bunyan is saying. But he's not being prescriptive. He's not saying that this is everyone's experience. You know, shortly in the book, we'll come across faithful. You don't read of faithful coming to the wicket gate or having the same experience as Christian. We come across hopeful, and again, it's the same, not exactly the same experience. Just as every conversion isn't exactly the same. Yes, we all come to Christ. We all repent of our sin. But the experience for all of us is different. That's why during the week when we hear testimonies, those testimonies will be different. Some people, it will be from black to white. Other people will be, there was a struggle. There was a wrestling with assurance, wrestling with various issues. And Bunyan isn't saying this is how it is with everyone. You know, some people, as I say, are singing from day one, I'm happy all the day. Some people from day one are saying, well, actually, I'm wrestling still a bit with this. Some people from day one are singing, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And he picked me up from those sinking sands, and they knew it. And that's why Bunyan has this third shining one. Give to Christian a seal scroll and a mark on his forehead. And in the story, Bunyan is undoubtedly referring, in that case, to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is the seal. The Holy Spirit is the dwelling, sovereign spirit in our hearts. He's the guarantee. He is the down payment, as it were, that what we have now is a guarantee that what we will have in the future. Judgment Day has no fear for the child of God. And the verdict is given to us now so that we can be assured. We have nothing to fear. And did you see, did you notice where the burden rolls? He comes up to the cross and the burden is loose from his back. And it rolls down the hill into the tomb. It rolls into the sepulchre where I saw it no more. Why did it roll down the tomb into the sepulchre where I saw it no more? Because, in the words of the hymn that we're just about to sing, rising, he justified freely forever. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the vindication that all that Jesus accomplished on the cross, the Father has accepted. So let us stand and sing One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises. It's number 178. And as the chorus says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. That's where the sins go, into the sepulchre, into the tomb. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. 178.